What do you want?
Statement of purpose? Should I email you? Should I put this on your action item list?
Look.
You decide your own level of involvement.
We are the Prepper Broadcasting Network.
You are now listening to the Patriot Power Hour, the newest show of the Prepper Broadcasting Network. This live episode features the situational awareness you need to practice self-reliance and independence. Introducing your hosts, Ben, the Breaker of Banksters, and Future Dan, the editor of FutureDanger.com.
Patriot Power Hour, folks. How you doing? Episode 140. Again, episode 140, man. We are really racking up the episodes. Just so much information each and every week. It's May 11th, 2021. Tuesday, 8.04 p.m. Eastern. I'm Ben, the Breaker of Banksters. Future Dan, my co-host over there. How you doing, sir?
Yeah, I'm excited to get on the air tonight after listening to Dave Jones's Daily Audio Cache. It was an intense discussion of the ongoing Colonial Pipeline cyber attack, and that's really dominating the news tonight. So you want me to remind you to give a show description? You just told me that before you launched the show. Remind me, I got to go back and describe what we talked about so it shows up in the archive as such. Well, I think Colonial Pipeline hack, what that involves is at the top of the list
tonight. I think so too. In a lot of episodes of Patriot Power Hour, we go through all the various topics and indicators, in particular, as we call them. But today, although we will have our news blitz, we will try to cover a few different topics. I do want to talk a lot about the gas line, gas pipeline hack, as well as hacking and cyber attacks in general. I want to talk a lot about that and what I've seen in my own personal and professional life. Just the cyber attacks are running rampant right now. They're just increasing. So we're going to focus on that. And also just how that plays into prepping. We got to remember this is Prepper Broadcasting Network. And as you said, the daily audio rant today was great. And it really touched on a lot of to-dos. And hopefully people have learned their lesson already from COVID in terms of being prepared. But this is another reality check that you need to have gas storage. You need to be prepared for this. And really, it's time to double down.
So around 5 o'clock, a lot of new headlines were added to Future Danger. Fresh news we're going to cover tonight. And that's on the heels of watching communications on the Prepper Broadcasting Network host communication channel, and some of our colleagues asking questions about, will this impact air travel? What are we expecting for just closure? So we're going to go through all the details of the headlines found right before we went on live tonight in the next segment. But bottom line is, I went out and bought gas right after listening to Dave Jones's daily audio cache at about 5:30 tonight. And pulled the extra tank out of the trunk and filled that too, safely on the ground to avoid static electricity discharge. And it's a full on, mini gas panic as of tonight. All the local media, CBS News nightly type late edition, are really hyping it. This is running from Texas to through Virginia all the way north, and it's going to have a ripple effect. Gas lines might be a major headline to all of the East Coast come tomorrow morning.
whether you think this is just some random hackers, whether you think it was China or North Korea or Russia, or whether you think it's an inside job by the globalist acting as another stress test and future attack, just like the planned power outage in Texas, you know, that whole situation there, and of course COVID. Whatever your belief, and we're going to bring you mostly the facts here and let you make your decision, this is huge. This is literal attack on the infrastructure. And that's something that Dave Jones did really harp on, that he was almost, it sounded really in his voice, pretty much ashamed of the response. And he was suggesting that this non, as you put it, a non-kinetic attack, the cyber attack,
should be met with a kinetic attack.
Exactly. Should be responded. This force should be responded maybe and then double again, but in the physical world.
Yeah, hellfire's raining down on whoever did this. Trouble is, it might be just like three Russian operatives that infiltrated to a basement in Hungary, did what they did, launched the code, and are not even there anymore. Or dead in a different dumpster in a different Eastern European state because they did this unwittingly, and now you're never going to know who did it.
Oh, for sure. And there's so many movies out there, we're not even going to get into all the potential scenarios, but it could be China trying to frame Russia. As I said, it could be the freaking Biden administration trying to use this as another example. I mean, there's so many opportunities. I don't want to speculate much, but all that matters to you listening out there, really when it comes down to it, are you prepared for that?
I would question how a part of our federal government could do it without other parts of our federal government coming across the evidence. But, you know, there was reports of knowing the names and identities of the 9/11 hijackers by parts of our government before that was officially expunged from history and the official narrative stands. So I'm not ruling these things out, but it would be much less plausible. So if you're going to go with Occam's razor, Russia does stand to gain from, you know, energy prices going up. China doesn't.
Well, I just think it's more of an overall destabilization and really a beta test or perhaps just another salvo in what's amping up. I'm telling you.
Or somebody just practicing because they got a different enemy they have a mind on doing it.
Yeah.
Like
so
India to Pakistan.
Right. So we're going to try to review some of those facts in the second quarter and beyond here of this show. But we got a lot of articles and the facts, and it's going to keep coming through. Something we're going to keep looking at. But luckily for my, you know, I just probably 3 weeks ago refilled my gasoline. I need to get a bigger and better storage system like Dave Jones. I think he said he had 80 gallons.
3 weeks ago?
That's impressive. I have a rotation of about 15 gallons of gasoline.
Okay, not stored. We're not talking about in your vehicle. You do travel more than that, or has the electric taken over your travel needs?
I meant I refreshed my... Gotcha. Refreshed and topped up my winter gasoline, which I put into the vehicle and used and all that. Yeah. So, but I want to expand from 15 gallons to maybe 60 or 80. Now, do it in a safe manner. I need to, you know, maybe think about a different way or a different storage area location.
Right.
But anyway, long story short, this is another example where I'm like, damn, I'm really glad I'm prepped and I have 15 gallons. Plus, I have I always keep my fuel tanks and my vehicles topped off. So, good shape there. But now I'm like, well, that's great. Now I want to triple or quadruple. And that's what I like about prepping, is you can always take that next step. And people get a little crazy with it, whatever. Each to their own. But I think having minimum 10 gallons with put a little stabilizer in there, look it up, and you can have it for 4 to 6 months, you know, and rotate it in. Super smart idea. But I want to get even more, is what I'm saying. And so I don't think this shortage, this particular hack, is going to be SHTF level with gasoline, especially since it's just to be honest, it's regional, even though it's an important region.
Yep.
But I think this is a like wake-up call for myself. Like, holy crap, I need to quadruple my efforts on gasoline storage. And so hopefully people out there listening will too.
I knew a family in the town I grew up in that had a cul-de-sac kind of road, like a horseshoe driveway that went underneath the porch that they could drive under if it was raining, right? And right by the garage, they had a gas pump.
Oh, yeah.
They installed in the 1970s.
That's awesome.
And put a gas tank in the ground underneath their garage. It was a separate garage from their house, and ordered gasoline delivered to their house and had their own. A wealthy doctor. Yeah, it was a nice house. They had an indoor pool. You know, they were of means.
Right.
Right? But they did that in the 70s as a response, because he had the wherewithal to do this. You know, he could afford it. In response to, you know, years of gas shortages.
Right.
That happened when OPEC was founded, and there was basically an embargo on oil to the United States for a period.
Yep. Well, those type of things you talk about having means, you need those, especially upfront costs. Some of these things could cost a lot. But I also feel like once you get the ball rolling, it's not as hard to keep it moving. So, and that kind of, whether it's storable food or gasoline in particular, these perishable items, even medical supplies as well. I'm big on rotating them out. But so that's always been some. I've been a little tentative of going too overboard because I don't want to waste a bunch or go bad. But now at this point, I feel like everything's escalated and ratcheted up where my risk tolerance is even higher. Meaning, I don't mind if I waste more money on gasoline. It's so important to have it. And storable food, so important to have it right now in the next, you know, few months. I'm upping my allocation to my preps in real time.
Amen. Preach it, man. Preach the gospel of being ready.
For sure. It doesn't take a lot of money. I know I've been talking about my freaking electric bike, which I'm really happy I have now. That costs a couple grand, including a few grand, including all the replacement parts, etc. But even just buying a $50 bag of beans, you know, or several bags of beans at $50 maybe. Long story short, you don't need to spend a lot of money to get a little more prepared, right?
That's right. And I think this gasoline crisis, this hack, is putting fuel on an inflationary fire this summer.
Absolutely. All right, guys, we're going to commercials. We'll be right back with the News Blitz Patriot Power Hour.
Prepared to be the family doctor in a disaster or emergency? This is the Intrepid Commander, and I'm holding the Prepper's Medical Handbook by William W. Forgy, MD. In this great book, you'll learn how to prepare for medical care off the grid. You'll learn about assessment and stabilization. You'll even deal with things like bioterrorism response, radiation, and how to build the off-grid medical kit at home. Look, 2020 taught us a lot about the limitations of our medical infrastructure in America. Get the Prepper's Medical Handbook today at Amazon.com. Again, that's the Prepper's Medical Handbook by William W. Forgy.
Achieve situational awareness of multiple threat indicators in one view. Be prepared. FutureDanger.com.
We're back with the Patriot Power Hour. News Blitz, FutureDanger.com to follow along. Let's start right away. Maricopa County defies subpoena, won't release hardware for election audit over, quote, security risk. Michigan judge considering request to dismiss election-related case. We'll keep following this as we have been. For geez, it is May 11th, 2021. It's been 6+ months since the election. I guess 7. California proposes cash payments for 2/3 of residents. IMF warns global tax deal urgently needed to avoid a trade war. Again, we've talked about this many a time. It continues to develop. Global tax deal needed to avoid trade war. The top-rated SHTF level
graded
indicator, most highly graded article of the night. FBI now warrantlessly searching corporate computers. Moving on to the next column. Chinese military discussed weaponizing COVID in 2015 to cause enemy's medical system to collapse. More signs COVID was an act of war upon America. Continuing to add to the evidence. President declares a state of emergency after biggest gasoline pipeline in America fails to restart hacked pipeline. We'll get deeper into that as we already have. But showing up as urgent, somewhat rare on the dashboard, but all over it today. Energy pipeline running from New Jersey to Texas shut down by ransomware. Assistant to President 45's son at a giant Chinese joint venture has ties to Chinese intelligence. 45% of the fuel supply to the East Coast cut off. Russia denies involvement. Hackers launch more cyber attacks on dozens of other companies after Colonial Pipeline shut down. And I'm going to get into my own personal accounts after the news blitz. Dark Side hacking group, likely based in Eastern Europe, says it has no connection to foreign governments. So is it a state actor, is this Dark Side hacking group? Looking at other theaters of war, AFRICOM, African Command, the commander there, states that China is looking to establish a naval base on Africa's western coast. I'll give them direct access to the Atlantic. China plans to revive strategic Pacific airstrip. Kiribati lawmakers states China's been prepping for World War III with biological weapons for the last 6 years, per another report. Wow, this is really starting to come out. We've been talking about it for quite a while. More and more evidence mounting. Moving on to more economic-focused articles. Of course, a lot of this is focused on gasoline, but there are other articles. We'll start with those. Treasury warns of a need to deal with federal government debt limit. Not the debt itself, but again, the debt limit. Remember when they used to have all those debates of the debt limit? Well, I guess it's coming back. Grocery prices up steeply from same time last year. Price of food at home is, now it shows, not up too much on this gauge. However, we will watch this closely as time progresses. I've seen many other articles, though, suggesting price of food is approaching double digit annually increases. So we'll keep our eyes open here and report back. You'll see it at your own supermarket, I suppose, though. Treasury Secretary hints at new regulatory structure for cryptocurrency. Definitely get into that. And now we'll hit on that gasoline, because don't forget that there's all these inflationary pressures, but now we have the pipeline down. Well, inflation risk is intensifying with supply shortages. We're seeing steel prices, which have tripled. Wow. Lumber up big time. Used car prices soaring. All around, lots of inflation. Now we have gasoline, which feeds into every price going up. Gas lines in North Carolina. East Coast hit with lines throughout Virginia to Florida to Alabama. Seems to start a little bit more in Mississippi. and into Florida, but now more and more reports in Virginia, North Carolina of these shortages. You even have the airlines altering flight schedules due to the fuel supply shortage. They're not even at full capacity due to COVID still, and they are being affected. So lots of crazy stuff going on. Already gas prices were expected to go up if you could find it. Even if you don't live in the Southeast or the East, your prices are going up. Prices near 7-year highs. We're seeing $2.99.
Could be a lot higher next week.
Yep, that's a good marker we're going to have to follow in the coming weeks and months. $2.99, which is up big time since year to date. I mean, it was probably like $2.40 or under recently. So 60 plus cents is my guess.
It's almost touching the 75% towards all-time high.
Yep.
Hits the red zone right there.
We're getting to the red zone where the stress really hits. And I think I said it a couple weeks ago. $3 is one thing. When it hits 4 and above on average, it's really going to dig in. Of course, we still have COVID and a lot of other issues going on. A lot of news again. Man, very packed night. Senator exposes chief medical advisor to the president for funding dangerous research in Wuhan before COVID-19 pandemic. FDA grants Pfizer emergency use for COVID-19 vaccine for children age 12 and up. Brain implant makes mice immediately become friends. There you go. Some happy news. Make the mice friends. Eruption.
The Icelandic.
Man. Fagradalsfjall.
Pronounce the Icelandic volcano, Ben.
Ready?
Yep.
Fagradalsfjall.
Fagradalsfjall.
Close. I tried to get my inner Skyrim and Viking.
Mesmerizing red skies.
Yeah.
Up at night in, as that thing goes off.
In Iceland. Cities. Yeah. That is pretty cool.
Kind of beautiful as long as it's not like hitting the city.
Seriously. And I think another of note, American birth and fertility rates in 2020 dropped to another record low.
Clusters of degenerative brain disease emerging in Canada. Saw that article the first time. I don't know any more about it than that. Than the article that's linked there. And it's scant on detail. Mm-hmm. But not the type of thing you can just like pretend like it's not happening nearby.
Well, you know, I was worried about GMO foods and the regular old vaccines screwing up the genome and giving people Alzheimer's and stuff. What do you think about these mRNA experimentals? I mean, who knows all the degenerative and other issues, physical and neurological, in the next that are coming in the next 20 years? You'll never be able to trace it back.
It's a mistake.
The genome's screwed, man. It's not good.
A mistake. Just throw your hands up and say, "Oh, it's coming." That Chinese biowarfare labs is going to make an ethnic weapon come right after a certain demographic in the United States that's the most resistant to its policies and ambitions and just the, you know, the socialist ethos that it propagates worldwide. No, you just buckle up, but it's coming. It's coming after Patriot Power Hour hosts. It's coming after hosts on this network. It's coming after lots of people that are speaking out right now. This stuff's real. And it's sixth generation warfare, and we are in war. It's pretty clear to me.
Oh, man. We are definitely at war. We're on, like, all fronts. And I think this hack is a perfect example of everyone we are at war with in different ways. We are at war with individual kind of hacker cells, right?
Or fronts for foreign governments.
Well, that's what I was going to say. But there are some independent ones. There's ones that are fronts. And then there are just true state actors. Then there's almost like corporate warfare going on, too. That's more espionage than hacking, shutting down. Huge, too.
Can you get the bio? Tonight, and it's not directly affecting U.S. security, so it's not on the heat map. But Israel's bombing Gaza in the Stone
war.
Age.
Yep.
And that's with non-Shiites, so it doesn't seem like it would draw Iran in necessarily. But if that goes even further out of control, you know, then Hezbollah and Lebanon may attack Israel, and then it could, you know, spread from there in the Middle East. This is all going on simultaneously worldwide.
It is. So, I mean, we've done a lot of these news blitz. Well, really, I guess 140, because this is episode 140.
That's a good way of looking at it.
I feel like this is one of the... It's escalating more. This is one of the more concerning dashboards I've seen.
Not I have a little more trepidation about the status quo than I did. Maybe, you know, if you go back and listen to the last 10 episodes, a lot more complacent about the news. We had some really, you know, non-eventful weeks in earlier this year and had to get into topics that, you know, take it deeper from there because it just wasn't that much headline. That's not true at the start of May 2021, though. And gas lines, you know, they hit home. I was at the gas station. I saw people panicking to start fueling up because their radio told them to.
Totally. And that's the thing. On Twitter as well, I've been watching. And throughout, there is a real shortage and problem. But when people escalate it, then it certainly gets more dangerous. That's why you got to be, I think Dave Jones said you got to be in the top 10%. But I think you got to be in the top, like, 5% or better in terms of being ahead of the curve. And that's either being prepared ahead of time, totally, or just really be having your ear to the ground, really both.
Which is could save you money to not allocate against things that you don't need to. If you can buy them at the last minute and pull it off.
And I'm having that kind of remorse now because I'm like, oh, I'm glad I did this, but I wish I had even more. So it kind of motivates you next time. And you're absolutely right. You got to have that fine line, I think. Those long-term storables, but then you got to be ready, kind of have some dry powder to use when you really need it.
You want to talk about the concept of hoarding next segment?
Absolutely. For sure.
Hoarding versus prepping. Let's have that talk.
Ooh, okay.
Let's do that.
All right. Guys, we'll be right back. PrepperBroadcasting.com. Check it out. Check out the sponsors, etc. Stick with us. Patriot Power Hour. I can't remember anything. Can't tell if this is true or dream.
The situation around Syracuse is one of utter devastation. Just like the other nuked cities, the danger area of highest contamination extends out 20 miles from the blast zone. All the communities immediately around the city have major problems. There is a mandatory evacuation order for the city itself and some of the immediate surrounding areas. They are testing the water, air, and soil constantly for contamination. This excerpt is from the book titled The Prepper, Part 1, The Collapse, by Carl A.D. Brown. Go to Amazon.com today and explore one family's journey through the collapse. Again, The Prepper by Carl A.D. Brown.
We are the Prepper Broadcasting Network.
Patriot Power Hour, and we are back for the second half. You know, I got a lot of articles I want to go through, but you did not challenge me per se, but did say you want to talk a little bit about what is hoarding versus prepping. I'm all about that. I'm not sure where you're going to go with this, but I think it's going to be interesting, so have at it.
Well, what do you think the difference is? Or what do you think the meaning of the two words are in contemporary American lexicon? Mm.
I feel a lot of people would conflate them and say that they're very similar, but I would argue mostly they differ, that preppers can be non-hoarders and hoarders can be non-preppers. There is some intersection in the diagram a little bit and can be. I hoard vision. Precious metals.
We're talking charts again, right?
Right.
Well, we tried to talk through our way through linear charts of, you know, some variable over time and stuff. And if you can follow along, God bless you. If you can't, we'll make this brief. But you're talking about a Venn chart. So in one big circle, there's all that's prepping. In another big circle, there's all that is hoarding. And then you kind of overlap the circles. And there's a zone that's You know, common.
Yeah.
Tell me about that space.
Well, I don't necessarily, you may not necessarily want to be in that zone, but it exists. And you probably want to avoid being a hoarder. And this is my opinion, the definition. A prepper is you have foresight and well ahead of time, you invest in essential goods, whether that's tools, medical supplies, financial assets. You are preparing and you're not doing it as a last second or a knee jerk reaction. You're doing it more forethought and not with panic, not as much emotion, I guess, maybe. Whereas hoarding.
Same thing as stockpiling?
A little more. Stockpiling and prepping, I think, are both, I think of them as positive. Whereas hoarding, I have a negative connotation that you are like panicked, freaking out, and you're getting way more than you really need. And you're also, here's a big part of it, your actions as a hoarder in the short term can really screw up the rest of society.
Yeah.
And
just buying gas tonight at stations where it's obviously a run on the gas, hoarding.
Well, this is the thing. It's hard to blame anyone doing that because at least they're getting their ass up and trying to do something.
Not for CBS News tonight.
But if they've never done it before or they're, you know.
Not for local and state officials across the East Coast tonight.
You mean they're calling it hoarding?
Yeah. They're telling you not to.
Well, if you never had a gas reserve until tonight and you're getting it now, I consider you a hoarder. But there's a road to redemption. You can become a prepper out of this, hopefully.
CBS News is saying doing anything but using gasoline as you normally do is hoarding.
Yeah. Well, in this emergency situation, I could agree with that definition.
Really?
Yeah.
I think.
But if you purchased a bunch of gasoline 3 weeks ago, like I did, I don't consider that hoarding. That's prepping.
Well, I consider if you don't have gas and immediately in front of me, there's a shortage of something and buying it now is prepping.
Yep.
I wouldn't use the word hoarding at all for that. However, ever since, you know, the New Deal, Roosevelt, they've used these terms throughout World War II and the Great Depression.
A lot of it is propaganda.
They've used this in conjunction with the airwaves that were seized by the state and allocated back to private industry in so far as private industry put out the message that the licensors, you know, agreed with, right? You get to you've never just been able to say almost anything you want on, you know, the public airwaves. It's always been regulated. Highly regulated in the previous
More regulated days. Than we are on a Prepper Broadcast Network.
It was
sure.
regulated to be anti-communist for decades, right? But it certainly was censored in that sense. Yeah, you know, hoarding to me is a descriptor of your personal situation relative to what you need to be able to do. If you have more of anything that impinges on your ability to operate, bug out, bug in, help others. You know, you can't leave your stockpile because it has to be guarded, and you might need to leave, and now you're in a dilemma. There's all kinds of ways that I would think this community might want to, you know, legitimately use the word hoarding. But I will tell you what, it's a dog whistle. It's a dog whistle to a lot of citizens. Don't prepare.
Right.
Sit idly by. Be prepared to be handed whatever allocation of whatever comes next from this government, right? Whether it be, you know, checks in California or vaccines at the vacated mall nearby that became a government inoculation center. Whatever it may be, you know, sit by and you'll see it on your favorite social media because your local and state government will have put it out there with a whole chorus of sit by and suck from the tit of government, you know, types of people who they're not going to change. Sorry, I'll just say it, and this is not in agreement with all hosts on this network, but there is a portion of humanity that is not going to change. They're going to be that way all the time for the rest of their lives. They know no better, right? And they're going to call you a hoarder. They are going to call you that. You're not going to get around it. You're not going to reason with them. But make no mistake, if I need a supply and there's a reason in my environment that now is the time to get it because tomorrow might not be the time to have it again, then call me anything they want to. I'm a prepper.
Oh, yeah. Oh, fair enough. I definitely understand that. You're killing it there for sure. Good stuff. Don't let they could put any term they want. They, I mean, they call preppers, you know, they'll call you a white supremacist or some sort of
same idea.
Yeah,
just useless.
Yeah,
because
like, oh, you're like Waco, right? You're like Waco people or like some cult or something. Like they love to use that too, and it's ridiculous, of course, totally unfounded. But yeah, for Ned. But I would say, here's a little bit of though what I will counter argue a little bit, devil's advocate. I prepared 3 weeks ago and much before when I started my reserve and my rotation, and it had no negative impact on the supply chain, and I don't have to go out there and participate in the panic. And if we had a much greater percentage of the population prepared, they wouldn't have to get in on this run on gasoline, and society would be much better off. We'd be much more resilient. So that's more preparedness rather than hoarding. You got, oh, you're doing it kind of last second. Like, oh, you got your hoard with your pants down. I'm going to get more than I need. But don't let that stop you. Like, if I didn't have any gas right now, I would be out there. Well, but my supply is full right now. So I
the whole premise of hoarding is that a group decides what an individual needs, right? And if you adopt that viewpoint of what hoarding means, you're using a totally different word than the one I am.
Oh, yeah, man.
I'm saying if you went and tripled your gas supply or quadrupled it, and now the storage area where you got it you have a problem. You have to manage a large stockpile of flammable materials, and that comes with it risks, right? Yeah. You know, is it prepping? Or now have you stockpiled to the point where now we have to suddenly leave and you have no way to take all that? You sank resources into something that you're leaving behind.
Definitely.
In fact, you're leaving it behind to people that could very well use it and use it against you, but you can't stay where you're at because you can't secure your location anymore. Then you could say, well, perhaps you hoarded that. You took more. You had more than you needed. You didn't have more than what others thought you needed.
Yeah, no, I feel you. You know, words have different definitions, and you got a lot of good points. I just suppose it's irresponsible for you, and I mean not you specifically, but people out there, it's irresponsible to not be prepared and participate in this type of panic. So I consider a hoard, but I totally wouldn't know you. They're using that word against us, but if you're hoarding, in my book, that means you're doing it out of panic and you're hurting the system and contributing to the stampede, and it's irresponsible of you to do that. But again, don't let me stop you from going out there and getting it if you really need it. I'm all about individual choice. And this stuff happens all the time. I'm all about behavioral economics. I mean,
so at the gas station tonight, when I pulled out the 1 gallon extra jug, which is a trivial amount of
gas. No, yeah, that doesn't count.
Filled it up with a whole crowd of gasoline and was like, hoard some gas. And I yelled it and got back in my car. That was just poor taste, right? Not
poor taste.
Not ethically a dilemma, but just not being gracious at all about it.
Yeah, no.
Not to say I did that, but.
But the true people at. You know, the media, as you noted, the media and the hype that they're building is probably worse overall than anything because they're contributing to it big time.
Well, it won't take long before something's linked back to casualties from this.
Yeah.
So someone's actually harmed because in this instant they had no gas. Right? So
allegedly the pipeline's gonna be up and running by the weekend. We'll see.
Manually operated right now. When's the last time they had to do that? All these industrial control systems are vulnerable.
Oh, the valve's stuck. Shit.
They're all vulnerable.
How are we going to get a replacement? We've shipped that factory to China. How are we going to make that replacement part?
Yeah, we shipped
the manual, analog.
You know, the labor available that could actually run it manually.
Yeah.
And how much slower it is when you do that even with the top trained guys
and
gals.
So a couple things before we go to break into our final segment. I'm not going to name where I work by any means or the organizations, but I got two stories. Let me see if I can pull them off. The first one is called a blue collar factory, and this is the HR manager and the general manager I'm discussing insurance with, and they're getting pretty pissed because they can't find people to come work for them because they're all staying at home.
taking a
because chance. Again, the Biden bucks. These guys straight up said Biden on my bucks. Conference call in a professional setting, called it Biden bucks and the socialist, this socialist, that. That, and it was awesome.
Biden bucks
to hear them talk that trash because the little bubble I'm in is generally, you know, upper middle class, blue leaning folks. So have them kind of call it out.
Biden bucks.
Anyway, but they're pissed about
the dole.
Right.
The dole in
they're on the dole.
They're on the dole.
And as you get paid more to sit at home than come in and work. You know, you can come in and work at the factory for $15 an hour, sit at home for, you know, $18 an hour equivalent type of thing.
Well, it doesn't even have to be that ratio. What if you could just stay at home for 10 instead of work that hard?
Oh, absolutely. Right, for 15? Definitely.
You know,
no.
if you can catch 2/3 of it.
Yeah.
You know, just do with less and not work. So many people making
absolutely.
That choice right now.
Absolutely. So they're putting out hiring bonuses and referral bonuses for people, for like blue collar line workers.
Don't think everybody
who put
COVID into motion didn't know that was a possible outcome. They sure as hell did.
You know what I said on the freaking conference call?
That's why it's warfare.
I said this because, I don't know, probably a bad idea, but I said this. I said, this is why I'm buying silver, gold, and Bitcoin and holding on my ass for the financial collapse. I said that. I threw that in there. And I didn't get fired yet. So
every single one of them knows in the back of their mind it's entirely possible.
Well, I hope so. I mean, I work with a lot of intelligent people, but I feel like they just got such a blind spot to this. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe a lot of them know about the debt crisis and all the garbage going on with the financial system. But I feel like everyone's just all they care about. Oh, my 401k is at all-time records. I don't care about anything else. And these are people like with master's degrees, lawyers. These are smart, you know, top 10% of society that's totally brainwashed.
Well, they're systemically
I'll get off the rant on that,
people.
But.
They're systemically trained people.
Definitely.
When push
right.
comes to
that's
shove
true.
And
very,
they have to
very
make
true.
Some choices in a situation that's outside of their comfort zone,
yeah.
that would try to tell you, are they smart
that's a great
or not?
Point. Just because you make a lot of money or you got an advanced degree doesn't mean jack.
Can you operate to survive?
Absolutely. I know people that live in the bayous of Mississippi or like Louisiana that I'd rather be with 100 times over.
Yeah. Are they going to be eaten 90 days from now instead of you?
Right.
Yeah, then, you know, stupid is as stupid does. Poor scum.
Yep. And the second before we go to break, we'll be back with the final segment. But more and more cyber attacks. I won't talk in any details at all, but all different industries, manufacturing, service, banks, freaking defense, government contractors, getting hacked. A lot of it is social engineering. They're not actually penetrating the system, but they spoof people. Or they get into someone's email and then send a fake email, fake invoice, change the account number just a little bit. So for your own good, people, be on the lookout. I'm telling you, cyber attacks are up huge, huge. It's not always covered by insurance either, especially your own. So cover your ass out there. We are under attack, cyber and otherwise. We'll cover a little bit more here on Patriot Power Hour.
You may have noticed the traditional media disguises and conceals the truth. Even when the truth is not being hidden, your attention is being misdirected. You're focused on some things to distract you from others. Future Danger assembles the key liberty, security, economic, and natural news of the day, sourcing from both mainstream and alternative media. What's more important to a prepper than knowledge? Achieve situational awareness of multiple threat indicators in one view. FutureDanger.com.
We are the Prepper Broadcasting Network.
We're back here, Patriot Power Hour. May 11th, 2021, we will be live again next Tuesday, like pretty much every Tuesday, 8 p.m. Eastern. And in fact, we might be putting out some more content in the near future, so stay tuned. But as always, got to put in a quick plug for the network, PrepperBroadcasting.com. Some new hosts, new shows, and current hosts that are doing more content. I mean, for a free, it's free. All this is free, great content, but let me just put the plug in there. I'm a member of the continuity. I get those transcripts. I actually need to do more with my membership because there's a lot out there. But I did download and have implemented at least part of the master preparedness schedule as part of the continuity membership. Go join, $60 a year. If you are into this, you don't have to. If money's tight or you need to put it on rice and beans, literally, figuratively, your preps, understood. That's why we do a free podcast. And we got, you know, what, 8 shows a week at this time, it seems like? If you add the daily audio cache, it's like 12, 13, 14 shows a week for free. But continuity, check out the membership. And mine, I think, comes due in a couple months, so I'll be re-upping for sure. There's my plug. How did I do?
Yeah, excellent, excellent. What else are we going to wrap up this show talking about besides, you know, we hit the Colonial Pipeline. That's your latest headlines. This will be a fast-moving story. It won't even resemble this tomorrow night. So if you're listening to this archive podcast, we were just witnessing this tonight as it was really day 4 of the hack and day 1 of the subsequent price shock.
Yep.
But there are some longer ranging topics that are being hit by headlines tonight. What else piqued your interest? Did you see anything new that you hadn't really encountered before, Ben?
I'm going to kind of break the fourth wall. Is that what they call it? When I kind of,
yeah.
I'm going to talk to the about behind the scenes here. When I read the news blitz, I'm supposed to just read the facts, only the facts, act like I'm very professional. But I almost spit out my water, figuratively, when I read that California proposes cash payments for 2/3 of residents. 2/3 of residents?
Cloward Piven strategy advances.
Holy crap. Like 1/3 of residents receiving cash payments from the government is freaking totally.
How's the state not bankrupt already?
But 2/3?
How are they not bankrupt already?
They are. It's just held up by 0% interest rates, essentially. They can float their bonds and keep their crap rolling, just like the feds. But they'll, trust me, they're going to go down just as hard or harder.
When the states will go down first, don't you think?
Probably, but it'll probably all be pretty damn simultaneous in the end.
Mitch McConnell said, let them go bankrupt. In the last term, right?
Well, they have a huge pension that's totally underfunded. One of the worst financials of the entire world is California budget.
Yeah, maybe that needs to happen. Maybe state pensions have to default or just restructure in a way that leaves all the people that paid into them entirely impoverished. Just living in old age on almost nothing on what they thought they were going to have because the states can't afford it, and sell it to them with a spoonful of sugar, just whatever they need to believe to realize it's in their own common interest to have participated in a pension plan that was devalued, right? Just to poverty.
Well, that's exactly what's going to happen. They're going to do everything to push the blame onto others, though. They're not going to default openly and say, oh, we, the government, totally screwed up. Never trust us again. Learn your lesson next time. No, they're going to blame people like financial hoarders. You know, they're going to be using stuff like that. They're going to be using cyber attacks and coronavirus and maybe even real war as examples of why the economy or the pensions collapse, not mismanagement and massive fraud and corruption, essentially, over the last 30 years that have built up.
Let me tell you about the possibility of real war. If indeed this was a bioweapon that came out of China, whether they invented it or whether it naturally occurred, their intelligence agency clearly sprung into action and spread it to the rest of the world. So what difference does it make? It was a bioweapon in effect, no matter what. As China's economy is the only major economy growing right now, 18 months later, I would say the rest of the world has lost that dimension of the war.
Uh-huh.
But the reaction of the United States to somehow install a friendly regime in Washington, the Biden administration, is a major sign of weakness. Why wouldn't you get attacked later? If you can't find the Colonial Pipeline hackers and make them pay, this is Dave's point of view, is how do you ever stop them from coming back with worse attacks?
For sure.
He spoke about that. So whether it's emerging from Russia or emerging from China, emerging from nefarious elite in the Western world, it doesn't matter. We're in it right now.
Yeah.
And this and getting kinetic is not outside the possibility at all times.
Well, you know when it gets real kinetic is when the power goes out or when actual power plants and other areas start blowing up, you know, or maybe even a city's traffic system gets hacked and messed up. I mean, this is literal infrastructure. I'm hoping and what I'm seeing, knock on wood, is this pipeline is going to be fixed up. But imagine this thing was shut off for a month or more. That almost would be SHTF martial law scenario in this region, at least.
I think this is a test run because I can't imagine the industrial control systems can't be changed out and essentially the entire sections of the pipeline rebuilt with new. You know, these are the control systems, the information technology that's operational on plant infrastructure, right? It controls the pipeline in ways that, yeah, you can go back to the way it was in 1970, but you're going to get a lot less gasoline flying up and down the East Coast of the United States inside these pipelines, right?
Yep.
The adversary's ability to put us back decades, at least temporarily, is going to make a boon industry for federal cybersecurity. That's for certain. Billions of fiat drone pal dollars, Biden bucks, call them what you will, are going to be flooding into, apparently making this stop again. But that misses the point. It just happened. From an adversary's perspective, we look weak and that invites attack.
For sure. And just imagine a few of these kind of compounded all throughout the U.S. or the world, and that's where it really starts to get nasty and somewhat isolated, but things are starting to kind of spiral. And you're talking about in the Middle East as well, but even just China and India, man. We talked some of these articles recently, a lot of tension between them. We have so many hotspots throughout the world. We try to focus more, American-centric here, of course, but... If we have a few of these big problems like the Suez Canal down, plus a pipeline, plus a Middle East war breaks out, plus a Wall Street stock market crisis all at once, I mean, that is the next level. We haven't seen all those combined quite yet, but like if we start seeing that, that's that next level, and I feel like we're like on the precipice, maybe a couple more turns around of the cycle, another few more months, maybe even a year, but soon... This stuff's going to really start coming together. And instead of Suez Canal down for 1 week or this pipeline down for 1 week, it's going to be a month. Or, half the U.S. has no electricity for a week and just keep getting worse and worse.
If we head in that direction, if that's the trend, I'll tell you this much. The indicators that will be all lit up on the night of the crisis could possibly not even be anything we talked about tonight.
Yeah.
These things are... all have the potential to just fire up in combinations that are unique and unpredictable. But that's the way we saw the news tonight. And I suspect we'll be talking about some more of the after effects of several of these next Tuesday night.
God willing, that's the plan. That is the plan. Well, as always... Patriot Power Hour, another fun show. We're going to make way here in a second or two for Next Generation. I do encourage people to go back and check out some of the archives of our show. You can find that in the third column of Future Danger. And as Dave Jones says, prep on. I think that's a good way to end the show. What do you say there?
Yeah, they're doing the conflicted host.
Oh, yeah. Let's talk about that real quick. Yeah. All right, let's talk about that before the music starts playing. We talked about it last week, right?
Yeah.
We're making the commitment to the conflicted card game.
Yeah, but the other hosts are going to do a podcast, and forgive me if I missed it. I saw the comms on it. Has that happened?
I didn't see it. There's a couple episodes I haven't seen or listened to in the last few weeks.
I thought they were going to do it last night.
It
was a Monday host. And they were going to play conflicted.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Maybe I missed that. I listened to the DACs, but didn't get a chance to do that. But well, then we're just copying them. However, we're going to have to do it together with them. Maybe.
I'd like to. I was booked, but I was afraid I missed it. But I'd like to play.
That would be actually super fun.
So we don't have our act together here at the end of our show this week, but
I don't see it in the podcast feed. But
I don't think you're looking back far enough.
No. Anyway,
I'm sure somebody will correct us shortly.
There you go.
But we're going to try it too, regardless.
Totally. No, I'm stoked for that. We're going to bring you that news, but we're going to try to focus on bigger picture items as well as the summer goes on. I mean, today was very news heavy, mostly on the gasoline shortage and a couple other items, but just so much to talk about. That's why we're going to be expanding, I think, in the near future. So more to come, probably in June and beyond. We'll let you know.
Absolutely. Good show, Ben.
Absolutely. All right, guys. Making way for Next Generation on this Double Barrel Tuesday. PrepperBroadcasting.com. Great show. Catch you guys next week.